Hi, everybody, and welcome to the webcast today on Adaptive Private Networking. I'm Steve Taylor from WebTorials, and I'm very happy to be sitting here today with Andy Gottlieb and Keith Morris from Telari. Now, we have lots and lots to talk to you about on a very short time schedule, but just a couple of very quick notes before we get started. In order to take advantage of all the interactive features of this webcast, if you would please make sure to disable any pop-up blockers that you may have. The slides will advance automatically throughout the webcast, and the audio will be delivered through your speakers or your headphones or whatever you have for your audio output. And we welcome your questions. In fact, we encourage your questions, and just type them into the box and hit submit questions at any time during the program. So with that as a bit of housekeeping, let's just jump right in and go ahead and get started with this. I've been talking with Telari quite a bit recently, and Telari makes some pretty bold statements these days. In fact, if we just take a quick look here, they claim, Andy and Keith, you guys are claiming that you can do 30 times to 100 times the bandwidth per dollar. It also appears that you're claiming that what we could do is 40 to 90% WAN cost savings, and also the ability, to be more reliable than a single vendor frame relay or MPLS type of situation. So, okay, guys, these are pretty broad statements. Let's start backing them up a little bit.
Sure. Thanks, Steve. This is Andy. So the way we can do this is not from any kind of magic compression technology. You know, we're not a WAN optimization product like Riverbed or Juniper or Cisco Cell. What we do is we realize that there is, you know, very large difference in the price per bit that carriers charge for MPLS and frame relay services. You know, you're talking anywhere from $400 to $1,500 a megabit, and yet broadband service is in the $3 for or $4 for cable service these days to maybe $15 for certain DSL technologies and $10 to $20 for internet bandwidth at colocation. And basically, for a very small difference in reliability, you have this massive cost difference. So essentially, by solving the reliability problems in real time with leveraging internet connections, we let you take advantage of the price performance of the internet, and that's how we can make those pretty broad claims.
Okay, well, that sounds very good from the perspective of, yes, internet bandwidth cheap. I mean, we have more bandwidth going to our homes now than 10 years ago a major corporate data center would have. But how do you get it to be reliable? That's the big question.
Okay, Steve, this is Keith. So I'll take that one. So the way to get reliability is actually to get sources of diverse bandwidth. And in the diagram we have here, what we're showing here is a couple of networks that are both 99% reliable. Now, if you use those networks in parallel, you can actually get up to four nines of reliability, or 99.99%. And this has kind of been well known from an availability standpoint, and routers have been doing this forever, in terms of if there's a link failure, you can swap over and use an alternate path to the destination. But what happens if there's a degradation in service in one of those networks, if you see loss, latency, and jitter that would impact the performance of an application over that network? How do you deal with that? And that's really the magic that Telari brings. We bring application predictability by avoiding those problems as well.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I love this slide. It's one of my favorites. And, of course, I've always had a good time with saying, okay, and then you go to three networks in parallel, four networks in parallel, et cetera, and you get very quickly to five nines. But it's very interesting that you do mention that it's not only the availability, but measuring some of the degradation and being able to move things about some. So can you give us a little bit more detail about, okay, this all looks good. How do you do it?
Absolutely. So, you know, on this slide, you see sort of the fundamental way we connect any two given locations together. And so by having multiple connections at either side, we do sort of something similar for wide area networks that RAID did for SWORD. So in this example, at the data center, we show, in addition to your private frame relay or MPLS network, two high-speed internet connections. At the remote site, we show, you know, the same MPLS connection and two internet connections, maybe one cable, one DSL. Now, in practice, you can have as little as whatever backup link you're using for internet access and your private WAN on either side and start with a 1 plus 1. But in this example, we just sort of show multiple links. And the idea is that by doing our magic and measuring continuously what goes on each of the different links and forwarding packets in real time, we enable you to essentially treat the collection of networks as a larger aggregate. You know, we'll do secure tunnels between our devices at 120-bit AES, so, you know, more secure than the old classic IPsec VPNs. And from a networking standpoint, it looks like a router talking to a router, maybe, and setting up your various classes of service. Now, the particular key to what we do is we're continuously measuring, literally on a packet-by-packet basis, what the loss, latency, and jitter is between any two locations on each of the various different paths. So, for example, on the red path between a data center in San Francisco, say, and a remote office in Boston, we can know that there's 40 milliseconds of latency on one path, 50 milliseconds on another path, and we'll make balancing and forwarding decisions like that literally on a second-by-second basis. The particular key to what we do is knowing when there's loss or heavy latency or jitter, we will switch quickly and stop using a network that's having problems, and we'll use it again when it gets better. So, you know, breaking it down just a little bit, the way we're able to do this measurement magic, which is what enables us to do the forwarding magic, is we take packets, we encapsulate them, so we'll have the right source and destination IP address based on the different networks we want to use. And by adding a timestamp and a sequence number, that enables us to know, you know, what the relative latency is for each of the different paths. And we're talking one-way latency, not just round trip. And based on things like sequence numbers, we can put packets back in the right order and quickly detect and retransmit when we have a lost packet. So we allow you to use, you know, this pretty good bandwidth, all of it most of the time, most of it all the time. And by being able to switch quickly away from bad bandwidth sub-second, we make it good enough to use for any application that can run in an IP-WAN.
Okay, great. Yeah, I really appreciate your showing us this slide so that we get a really good feel for the geeks among us that, hey, here's the level two header, then you have the IP header, the UDP header, and then you kind of go in there and you can be in control from end to end. So thank you very much for that. That gives us a very nice feel for what we're doing technically. But now, okay, technology, we now know it's there. We still have these business benefits, business issues we were going to talk about. So let's kind of talk about the features and benefits a little bit and, you know, what's the enterprise really going to get out of this?
Okay, let's start with the technical benefits to start with. So the first thing that all of this information allows you to do is to do what we're calling real-time traffic engineering. So on a packet-by-packet basis, to be able to look at the network and for that particular packet that you're going to send out, determine which is the best path for that particular packet. You know, if it's a voice packet, you might be looking for a path that has very low latency. For data transport, you may be looking for something with low loss. So we can make those kinds of decisions. And then what it also allows us to do is efficiently use all of the paths over the network. So even if we don't have, even though we have a small number of flows, we can still take advantage of all the bandwidth. The next thing is the concept of resilient multipath connectivity. So we've talked earlier about the physical redundancy you get by having diverse sources of bandwidth, but also now you can actually avoid points in the network as they start to get congested. So you start to see brownouts in the network. You can move traffic away from that if it's going to affect the application performance above. And then you can also do things like for data transfers, for TCP, we can actually detect that a packet was dropped from a TCP IP flow before TCP and retransmit it. So the TCP congestion algorithms don't kick in and start to back off too soon and degrade how much bandwidth you can get across the network. And the next thing is what we're calling virtual QoS. So here you have a network that has a mix of, maybe has a mix of networks that support QoS, and certainly the internet doesn't support QoS inherently. And actually, we can provide end-to-end QoS over that framework. So not only can we prioritize at the ingress to the network, we also have the ability to choose which path is the shortest path to the destination in time. So for example, for voice, you can make that decision and say, okay, here's it's going out first, and it's also going out on the path that will get you to the destination as fast as possible. And then the other thing you can do is then you can start to do creative things, because now you have all this extra bandwidth because you can afford to buy more bandwidth on these best effort networks. So you can start to do things like replicate some important traffic and then pick the best packet at the destination and get increased reliability and predictability that way.
And in replicating the real-time traffic, would that be, for instance, for a voice call? So you may have it so that you're going with two packets and transmitting the voice packet twice, and you see which one made it there?
Yeah, so for example, with voice anyway, we're going to switch sub-second. If we see a problem, we're going to switch sub-second to a better path. But if you want kind of platinum-grade voice, so you have another packet there to use within a few milliseconds, then you can replicate.
That's absolutely fabulous, because particularly the fast switchover, there's need. Lots of I wish we had time on the webcast to drill down on each of these, because as you went through them, I was thinking, oh my gosh, you know, that's really cool. Like, we need to go in and ask more questions, but we'll get to that later, because really, what I need to ask you now is, okay, we say we're going to do all of this. Tell me about the boxes. We all want to know about the boxes. How do you fit into the enterprise and what's available there?
Okay, so the product is an appliance, so it's a network appliance. And basically we have different boxes to go in different places of the network. So we have a larger box, which is the T3000, which is designed to go into your data center or even into co-location. And this is where you have your high bandwidth connectivity to all of your business data, and you want high availability for all that to the rest of the network. Then we have a T700, which is really the workhorse of the network. It's at all of the branch offices, and this is what you'd typically have at a branch office, you know, the order of about 50 megabits of bandwidth and there. And then we also have a smaller box, which is designed for a small office or a home office where you just have a few people connecting to the network, and that's kind of our small box. We have a box at every level in the hierarchy of the enterprise network.
Okay, that's really cool. Now, the question, though, becomes, okay, nice boxes, very nice story, very nice technology, but in this particular economy, people don't really have the ability right now to say, gee, this is cool, let's go out and try it. I mean, you know, that happened 15 years ago with ATM. There was enough money out there that people could just go out and do something because it looked like fun. Tell me a little bit about the ROI. Have you done any analysis on that? Because we started off the thing with some pretty bold claims on saving money. Can you address that just a little bit?
Very happy to, Stephen. Yeah. So we've actually done quite a bit, obviously, in the current economy. If you have enough technology that pays for itself, you're just not going to get very far. So one of the nice parts about our technology is it'll pay for itself in less than a year. And then on top of that, of course, you get all of this extra bandwidth versus the status quo and a lot more reliability. So I show here two different examples of high-tech companies we've been working with. One's a larger company. They got, you know, over 70 sites. They're spending almost $2.5 million a year on their wide area networking connectivity and MPLS. They've actually got a pretty low priced provider, but given their large number of locations and a lot of international locations, their WAN's just really expensive. And so we look at, you know, two routes with them. One where they keep some of their MPLS and use Tulare's appliance solution and the internet to kind of augment their existing network and, you know, only replace in some small places. And you can see, you know, you can save almost 60%, about 45% on their WAN budget. The product will pay for itself in about 7 months. In more aggressive deployment, you can cut that WAN bill, you know, down by 65%, almost two-thirds, down to $45,000 a month. And there, of course, it's the same technology. It will pay for itself in just over 5 months. Now we look at a medium-sized company. They got 20-something sites, and so they're not spending nearly as much on bandwidth, but it's still, you know, $1 million a year. As you kind of figured out by now, we're not trying to steal from your Cisco equipment budget. We're trying to steal from that Verizon and AT&T. Maybe British Telecom monthly operating budget, which is so large. So even in this smaller case, here the product pays for itself in less than 5 months. Even in the conservative case where they keep some MPLS for their core, again, this is a, you know, multinational, some European, some Asia deployments. And in the let's get rid of MPLS entirely, which, you know, you can do as quickly as you want. Most people, frankly, will take several months to do that, partly for the contract, partly just in terms of getting comfortable. But in this case, you can literally reduce your WAN budget by more than 80% and see a very fast time to break even. And, you know, one last time, if all we did was save money, I think we'd offer a pretty valuable service. But it's the combination of saving money and being able to deliver more reliability and more bandwidth to run next generation applications that really makes it compelling.
Okay, you know, I think that really is key, because one of the things that when I've looked at various ways of doing business cases, I've always thought was very key was that there are really two types of business cases. There are the business cases that are old school business cases that say, can I do what I used to do for less money? And that's okay. But then there are the ones that I find are really exciting, which are the proactive business cases that say, gee, if I spend this money, can I save money, stay the same, and still be able to offer all types of new capabilities? Because regardless of what's happening in the network, as we see people using more and more video conferencing, more and more collaborative tools especially, we got to have the bandwidth, and this may be a good way to be able to do that. So thank you so much. And by the way, this has been a great overview of what we have available. So I guess at this time, it's time to move to some questions, because we've had a lot of questions coming in from the audience, and we'll maybe try to get to as many of those as possible over the next 10 or 15 minutes. And so the first question that we have is one that comes in that says, okay, what if you're doing a big file transfer and using lots of bandwidth, and then someone starts a VoIP call? Because as we know, you know, you have this big file transfer going on, and then all of a sudden, when you're looking at something that's using FTP or whatever for putting big chunks of data across, that's a very technical term, but big chunks of data across the network, and that makes it very efficient. But with a VoIP call, you have lots and lots of teeny tiny packets that need to get there very quickly. And in fact, let me even jump back to one of our slides that we had that just kind of shows the network here. In this case, how, if you're going full out, how would you go about prioritizing, et cetera?
Well, for example, so in the case of a big file transfer, you may even be, you know, in our system, you may be leveraging multiple paths through the network. So you're kind of aggregating all that bandwidth together. And we'll be balancing across all those paths. So when a new flow comes up in that class of service, which says it's voice over IP, what we'll immediately do is start to rebalance and start to push those voice packets over over one of the paths based on the other measurements we have. And then basically the file transfer would just be moved off, and we'd steal that bandwidth away from the gracefully away from the file transfer. So it would just back off and leave room for the voice call to get to the other appliance.
Okay, very, very, very good. And again, we are answering these questions real time. So if there are additional questions that you have, and hearing an answer leads to a question, please continue to send in those additional questions. But we do have another one in the queue here that says, okay, how does this really differentiate from WAN optimization? I mean, we've been hearing about WAN optimization for years now. Which should I do this? Should I use WAN optimization? Should I do APN? Give me a feel for where this fits into this entire application performance arena, if you will.
Sure, it's a great question. I mean, we get it kind of frequently. Interestingly, most of our customers, probably two-thirds, are existing WAN optimization customers. They've either deployed their Riverbed or Cisco or Citrix kind of WAN optimization, and they use us in conjunction with them. So it's not really an either or. Very frequently, it's an and. And the reason for that is that while we overlap a little bit in terms of what do I do if I need more bandwidth, essentially, WAN optimization is a way to free up bandwidth on your network, whereas adaptive private networking is a way to add cost-effectively and scalably very inexpensive bandwidth to your network. But having, you know, mentioned now that the sort of obvious overlap, in fact, the things that WAN optimization does very well, adaptive private networking doesn't do at all. And the things that adaptive private networking does well, WAN optimization doesn't do. WAN optimization is wonderful for repeated transfers of the same large file. That's how you get your LAN-like performance if you're repeatedly transferring the same file. It's also great for fixing wide area networking problems with Microsoft's SIFS protocol. file transfer, which is particularly broken with earlier versions of Windows prior to Vista and 7. On the other hand, WAN optimization doesn't really do anything for you for reliability. It doesn't do anything for voice and video applications, and it can't do very much for applications like Citrix Virtual Desktop, where Tulare's strength then is beyond the sort of obvious way you can make video high quality even with inexpensive links, and giving you more bandwidth even the first time you want to transfer a file. So WAN optimization is great that second and successive time, and they'll do some kind of memory-based compression to get it there faster the first time if the file is compressible. But if you have a very large file you're trying to push out and get there, you know, the first time you want to transfer it, you want to get there 10 times faster, leverage Tulare technology, use your existing internet links or buy new ones, and you can get it there 10 times faster. And then the final thing is, by definition, WAN optimization, you know, can't do anything for the reliability of your network. And so when you have problems with the network connection, there's sort of not much they can do. So what Tulare's great strength is, you know, adaptive and in adaptive private networking, is fixing those problems in real time and allowing you to, you know, to leverage that internet connectivity in combination with even your expensive MPLS QoS connectivity and essentially kind of have the best of both worlds.
Okay, great. You know, I also really like the fact that you mentioned video, and we're all getting to the point now that it's becoming almost a totally new idea that we really, really want that to do a video conference, but we not only want to do a video conference, we want it to be high definition, et cetera. And so we had a great question that came in from Silas, who said, what does your application do for increasing the uplink bandwidth available for an HD video call? And I think particularly the uplink bandwidth is the key part of that question there.
Yeah, and this is Keith. So the key thing there is, just in the nature of the product, is we allow you to aggregate multiple sources of bandwidth. So by aggregating multiple links, you can actually build up quite a large amount of upstream bandwidth. So if you have a few DSL connections, you can aggregate all of the upstreams from those connections and then make them look like a single pipe for the video call. And that's how people are getting to the bandwidth they need to do high definition video across the internet with our solution.
Okay, great. Thank you. And also, John just asked, what if there's only one connection at the head office, but two or three connections at the branch office? Can you do anything about managing traffic out of the single link, but then going out over multiple links so far as how all of that gets tagged?
Yeah, great question. To do our 4.9's reliability, we really do need multiple links at each end, since kind of by definition, if that main link at the head end goes out, there's nothing we can do. That said, if you've got a highly reliable connection there, then we do sort of everything else, i.e. handle everything but failures at that last mile or at, you know, the second to last mile peering point for that provider. Meaning you can aggregate the links at the small site, and so if you have a bandwidth problem, then that's obviously we do that, you know, pretty straightforward. And we'll also fix a large class of the reliability problems that can happen. Right. Typically, it's DSL networks, whether it's last mile connections or those peering points, which will have problems. And so you can do, as Keith has mentioned, you can aggregate it for video and data, but we'll also work around problems there. And so we'll give you high reliability to the extent that the problems are related to the broadband access network. We'll give you that 3 and 4.9 reliability. We just can't do the quote unquote, you know, a high level SLA guarantee unless you have multiple connections at a data center. But, you know, if you've got a 100 megabit link, or you're in a colo facility, then that's probably pretty safe, and you can certainly, you know, get the rest of the benefits. And in fact, you kind of described typically how a lot of our customers will trial the product first, rather than going putting in a second internet link at their data center. If they're not hosting a website now, they might not have that. But you can get pretty much all the benefits and see how the technology in action, even with only one high-speed link at a data center.
Okay, and speaking of trials, we have a couple of other questions, but just very quickly, can you give us just a little bit of a quick feel for how you integrate into a particular environment and the installation? Do I have to have downtime? Is there any way to make sure that we're definitely not causing a problem? Because always, you know, I'm an old networking guy, and every time I put in a new box, I'm always afraid something's going to happen and finger pointing's going to start. So how do we install something?
Sure. You know, really good question. The nice part is, if you're familiar with WAN optimization technology, and, you know, as I said, most of our customers tend to be, we tend to be deployed in the same place. So we're a two-ended solution. So you deploy pretty much in the same place in the network as those technologies go to. You know, we're an overlay network. It's failed to wire just like them. If you're deploying together with WAN optimization, we're essentially on the wide area networking side of that box. We can do our magic after they've seen the packet, but not vice versa. So they'll hand the packet to us, and we'll go on. So typically that means at a small site or branch office, we'll be in line, you know, right behind your main MPLS router or your primary internet VPN connection today, and also, you know, coming in, and there's various different ways you can set it up, the additional connections. At a data center, you can also, of course, put us physically in line, just as you can do with WAN optimization products. That said, typically, people will hang you in one-armed mode off of a core router or core layer 3 switch somewhere. So that's kind of the physical deployment. In terms of the rest of the setup, we basically need an IP address from each of the different WAN links that you have, and it's perfectly fine to be a NATed shared address. We don't need anything dedicated or fixed to us. You need to poke holes in your firewall to let my box talk to my box with those different IP addresses. And then kind of the last thing you need to do typically at a data center is set up a couple of policy-based routing rules per WAN link to allow our box talk to our box with our paths and not have routing reroute our traffic. The one thing we count on, if you look at the picture Stephen was showing previously, I'll put it up there again, is, you know, we want to make sure that red path is going out ISPA and coming in D. Well, coming in, we control by having the destination address on the encapsulated packet that we talked about earlier. And so it's the outbound link. We essentially use policy-based routing rules to force the packet to always go there. The nice part is it's very scalable. No matter how many connections you have, you need exactly two rules per local WAN link per router, and you're pretty much done. And having said that, what I just described, that's pretty much what you got to do to go and deploy our boxes. I think the last question you asked is, the nice part is being fail to wire, being an overlay network, you don't have to take things down. You know, the worst comes to worst, if you've misconfigured something, you pull the plug on our box, it works like before. Again, you know, thank you Riverbed, thank you Cisco Peribit. That's the way products have been deployed in the last few years with overlay networks. But, you know, the kind of the last point, the proactive part, you know, adaptive networking, once you've deployed this technology, you now have made your network incredibly fault tolerant to problems, not just that happen in the carrier's networks, but even, you know, software upgrades or misconfigurations. Rather than having to have great troubleshooting tools to figure out where the problem is and go do something about it, we'll fix the problem behind your back and say, hey, by the way, this connection doesn't seem to be working. Maybe you want to take a look at it. But you don't have to find out about it by your users calling up and complaining that they don't have service. The network just keeps working.
Okay, and just a one-sentence definition of fail to wire, if somebody's not familiar with that particular terminology.
Yeah. So what we mean there is basically the traffic comes in and out of us with a couple of Ethernet cables, and if the box fails, then those cables will be shorted together, so we'll just look like a wire, so the traffic will just flow straight through our box.
Okay, perfect, because I found that to be a particularly key function, because that way you can immediately get out of there. I think we have time for one last question, and it comes from our colleague Rebecca. And Rebecca asked a kind of wide open question, but when you mentioned having poking a hole in the firewall, that always gives me just a little bit, anything that you say hole in the firewall, I say, oops, what's happening here? But this is really a more overriding question that just says, how do you deal with security? So can you tell us just a little bit about security and how you deal with this?
Sure. So there's a couple levels to this. So one, the holes that you have to poke in a firewall to have any connectivity is very specific to our product. So, you know, we happen to use port 21556 for our connectivity. And so you just allow my IP source address and destination to talk to my boxes. So in that sense, it's pretty secure. As we've mentioned, even over the public internet, we'll use 128-bit AES encrypted tunnels. You know, it's open SSL. It's pretty much similar technology that SSL connectivity does. But the last point is, again, as an overlay network, you see in the network design, we will essentially sit behind your firewall. This is the advantage of being an overlay network. We're not... whatever firewall technology, whatever security you want, you can keep using that. You don't have to have, you know, some entirely different system. Now, there are options to use us as essentially a very dumb firewall to only let traffic in that's coming to us and nothing else. For those added, you know, say DSL or cable connections at a branch, you can do that. It's not kind of required. It gives you an extra level of reliability. But because we're an overlay network, you get to keep the security you have rather than have to come to some other system beyond the obvious, you know, you better encrypt your data on the internet.
Okay. Well, this has been absolutely wonderful, and I could go on forever asking you questions because I'm me. But we did promise all of the folks that the webcast would be about a 30-minute webcast, so we'll do that, and thank you so much. Now, for the audience, before we go, I'd like to encourage you to take a look at the resources area of the webcast player, and especially to look at this and make sure to look at the resources that are listed there, because there is a lot of additional information here on this topic. And also, if you'll please at the end fill out the survey. Also, so far as the Q&A is concerned, at one of the resources there, which is the WebTorio's water cooler, we do have the capability there for you to continue this discussion offline. If you have any questions at all, please be sure to let us know. So any closing comments, Andy or Keith?
Yeah, so thanks again, Stephen. I appreciate you leading this webinar. The bottom line is, you know, Telaria's RAID-like technology allows you to make this pretty good internet connections business quality. And so the reliability that adaptive private networking delivers enables enterprises to truly take advantage of internet economics, to both save huge amounts of money on the one hand on your monthly WAN bill, and to get much more bandwidth to run existing applications and next generation applications. And you can do this, you know, whether it is, you know, your goal is to just augment your existing MPLS network, to do MPLS replacement, or actually for those customers who haven't, you know, bit the bullet and moved to private WANs now, to avoid having to do that without having to sacrifice quality.
Fantastic. So for myself, on behalf of Telaria, and on behalf of Network World, I want to thank everyone for joining us today, and we're looking forward to continuing the conversation with you.